Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the South Africa podcast. You're listening to myself, Ivic Wolf, and Scratch is our co-host for this evening, as always.
Yep.
And this evening, we have two very, very special guests, two people who've been very closely connected to the South African furry community for, I think, almost like two, 3 years now, that in Trace and Kit. And this evening, you guys can say hello if you'd like.
Hey.
Hello.
Just introduce which voice is which as well.
I'm Kit.
And I'm Trace.
All right. That's cool. Goodness me, that's cool. Sorry. Bit on the nervy side for some reason, not necessarily sure, but we're going to be going through with this. What we're going to be talking about tonight is both Trace and Kit were working at the MFF, Midwest Fur Fest, for those of you who are not that familiar with cons around the world, but definitely Trace and Kit were working there as helpers, as well as like obviously going to the convention by themselves. I think this was your second year in a row now.
That's right,
yep.
Yeah. So third.
First year volunteering.
Okay. First year volunteering. Cool. All right. So with obviously some of the things we want to talk about in respect to MFF is obviously it's the biggest convention currently in the world. It's done a lot of things in respect to like sort of growing the furry community. Beyond that, obviously, it's going to need a massive amount of help staff. So being able to find out what it's like, whether people should join up, is it worth the extra stress of becoming part of a help staff, all those kinds of questions. But first, maybe I'm going to ask if you two could just introduce yourselves a little to our audience at large. We can start with you, Trace.
Okay. Well, I'm Trace. I joined the fandom probably about 3 years ago at this point, is when I started really getting involved. I actually found my way into the fandom through the South African fandom, even though I live in the States, because I met Badge, through a mutual friend, and he kind of dragged me into the whole thing.
Nice. Dragging and then you, yeah, dragging is the correct term.
Yes.
it seems to be a very South African thing to do, apparently, just drag everything and everyone. And our feet. And you, Kit? I know that we've had Trace on before, obviously, so for those of you guys who remember Trace from the previous time, you know, hello. I think for some reason Kit somehow randomly spoke at some point in the previous one anyway.
That's quite possible.
Yeah, that's very possible.
But yeah, a little bit more about you, Kit, if you'd like.
Yeah. I pretty much joined the fandom because of Trace. If Badge dragged Trace into the fandom, I ran headlong into it because of Trace. Yeah, just lots of cool people in the fandom, and I think for me, a big part of it is, you know, whatever you enjoy, you should enjoy unapologetically, and there's no really wrong way to have fun.
Unless it's all cocaine.
Right. Well, fair enough.
I mean, if you enjoy having cocaine, I don't know. Who is that even enjoyable?
Is there a way to responsibly use cocaine?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So therefore my statement stands. Unless it's cocaine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, there are a large amount of other things you probably shouldn't be doing along with cocaine.
It's true.
Like, but being murder. A furry is a thing that you can do unapologetically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a couple of steps down.
You're not hurting anyone being a furry. You are in fact making a lot of really cool friends being a furry.
Yes.
So that good thing.
Indeed.
I mean, and with that, like, I mean, just to sort of give a little bit of context, obviously you guys sort of found the fandom and things like that. And what were the actual reasons as to why you sort of, I think, ran as headlong as you did? What exactly happened I just want to contextualize how we're going to go forward into the MFF conversation and conventions at large.
Well, I guess for me, a big part of it was realizing that, you know, even though I technically joined the fandom a few years ago, I've really always kind of been a furry fan and just wasn't knowledgeable enough about the fandom or wasn't willing to acknowledge that I wanted to be a part of the fandom until I had friends in the fandom who were just really awesome people that I wanted to get to know more and showed me this really awesome community full of people who enjoyed things that I've always enjoyed. And so, yeah, I think just being able to jump into that culture was just kind of a step for me, and didn't see any reason to go about it hesitantly when I got to the point where I was willing to go for it.
All right. That's really cool. And for you, Kit?
Yeah. Honestly, I just saw how much fun Trace was having in the fandom. And about the time he joined the fandom, I honestly was crushing on him really hard. And I kind of realized if I become a furry, it's going to be that much harder not to act weird around my crush, I guess. But when we started dating, I was like, okay, well, now that I'm in a relationship with this guy, I want to be a furry too, and jumped into it with him.
Huh. That's cool and geared.
That is the sweet story. There's just a message on Discord, if you guys could just have a quick look there. But beyond that, like obviously, the conventions around America, obviously some of the biggest conventions in the world obviously happen there and pretty close to where you guys live, yeah?
Somewhat.
How far is MFF from you? Let's ask that question.
Well, MFF is in Chicago, and Chicago is about an 8-hour drive away from where we are.
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
I mean, it's still part of the Midwest.
It's just further south.
It's further kind of. No, it's further east mostly, and a little north, I think.
Yeah, I always had this idea that Chicago was quite north.
Yeah, Chicago's fairly north. It's about the same distance from us as Denver is from us.
Okay. All right. So
is that your closest like big con geographically, or? Like is
because there is Denver
closer?
Or yeah, Denver, there is Denver. And, we haven't been to that yet, but we are thinking about maybe trying to attend this year. But yeah, that's the only con that we've been to really, and it's probably about the closest big con from where we are.
Just happens to be the biggest convention, so that's a plus point somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. we picked a good one.
It was funny. It was actually the first year that we started going that it turned out to be the biggest convention. Because before that, Anthrocon was bigger.
Oddly enough, and I mean, like, because that could, in fact, be a conversation point anyway, like, would there ever be a reason or some sort of, like, a consensus as to why people might choose something like MFF over Anthrocon, for instance?
I'm sure there probably is. I imagine a big point for a lot of people might be that MFF might be a lot easier to get to. I know that's certainly something for us. I mean, 8 hours is still quite a trip, but it's not as bad as driving or flying all the way to the East Coast,
yeah,
where Anthrogon is. And so I think MFF kind of benefits from being in a very central location, kind of in the middle of the country.
All right. That's actually pretty interesting, because I know that that's sort of the correlation that I've been hearing quite often, especially while going through some of the messages in respect to either which one people would choose, either MFF or Anthrocon. And I think that was sort of the consensus point in respect to that, that it's more central than anywhere else. And I mean, I guess at least from our experience, myself and Scratches, like, centrality doesn't necessarily mean that everybody would want to go either. We tried making that choice about 3 years ago.
And three times.
We were attempting to find like a central location in South Africa for everybody to get to. And that central location just became more expensive for everyone instead of, you know, maybe one or two groups.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it's always a very, very interesting thing to, and again, like, I'm going to segue a little here. It's always an interesting thing to sort of deal with that kind of experience when you're dealing with, I guess, in many senses, especially when it comes to conventions, what one could consider to be customers, people coming to your convention, finding out like what they need to do. So when it comes to that, like, what exactly are the, I guess, main points that were given to you as ConHelp? What were you guys sort of assigned to do? Was there certain designations where you were allowed to choose what you wanted to do? I know that hours was a thing that you mentioned as well. So maybe just run us through the entire convention helper or convention con staff. Would you guys be considered con staff, or is that like a step?
Okay, so there are two. Yeah. So MFF is an entirely volunteer-based organization, and there are two categories that volunteers fit under. There's the actual staff, and no one gets paid, but the staff are more official. They have a set schedule for the hours that they're working, and you know, it's kind of like working a job over the weekend. But then they also have a volunteer booth where anyone can stop by and just work however many hours they want to, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, I mean, even just show up and work for an hour and, you know, or you can work for a few dozen hours.
Yeah, and I mean, there like, were, yeah, go.
There were one or two people who showed up to the con and just ended up spending the entire con volunteering, and in our volunteer Telegram group, they're just so like, yeah, it was a really great experience. We were happy we did that. Mm-hmm. Trace and I still attended most of the con, but there were a couple of people who really did spend the entire convention volunteering and were really happy with that decision.
Damn.
All right. What would make somebody want to volunteer for the entirety of the convention, for instance? What benefit would there be to doing that, for instance?
I mean, they do have it structured so that volunteers get little incentives to join. I think it's if you volunteer for just an hour, you get like a free t-shirt, which is pretty nice in itself. But then if you volunteer for, I think it was 10 hours or more, then you get a free pass to the next convention.
Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
That's some incentive.
Yeah, and I think there's a few other minor incentives for volunteering a bit beyond that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Scratch, did you want to say something?
No, sorry. I just had to swat a fly in my room.
Okay. Yeah, it's hot down this side, so flies are probably.
I am sweltering. It's evening and I'm sweltering.
Yeah. So, I mean, like the kind of work or the kind of jobs that you guys were what's the word?
Assigned to?
Yes.
So basically, you'll like go to the desk and they'll be receiving calls from all over the con saying where they currently need help, you know, like where they need volunteers. And mm-hmm. so, you know, you show up at the desk and they'll tell you, okay, we need three people to go help, or we need a whole group of people to go help with the art show, or we need a couple people to watch lines at the dealer's den, mm-hmm. or things like that.
Yep.
And so, yep. So a lot of what we did was, well, there are 4 days of the convention, and Thursday, is mostly kind of a setup day. And so we volunteered for a few hours on that day because there wasn't mm-hmm. a whole lot else going on. And so that day we were mostly helping with setup, things like putting up signs, helping get the art gallery ready, and kind of various things along those lines. Then okay. throughout most of the rest of the con, we were doing things like checking badges in front of rooms, helping out with the fursuit lounges, various things like that, just where they need a body around.
Go stand there.
Yeah.
Stand there and look intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Really? I was joking. Like, was that like actually kind of a thing to do?
Stand no, there
and look intimidating.
I ended up volunteering at the dealer's den for a little while, and like I didn't need to look intimidating, but it really was check badges as people go in, and if someone doesn't have a badge, turn them away, which I never had to do. No one with a badge tried to get past me.
No one without mm-hmm. a badge.
No one without a badge. But there was, you know, doing stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. And would you say that it go.
So the work is sort of like a mixture between security detail and like physical labor, and the admin is probably handled by the official con staff kind of thing.
Yeah, most of it was a minor amount of physical labor, like being volunteers, because of liability issues we weren't allowed to like lift heavy things or anything like that. You know, because we weren't actual staff members.
Yep.
So we hadn't signed any waivers or anything. But we were able to like help out with things like inventory and things along those lines.
And you know, with security, we would check badges in front of doors, but they had security staff to actually break up anything that was a problem.
Yeah, they had actual con security. We were mostly just kind of like hanging out outside rooms. For things like the fursuit lounge, is basically just making sure that you didn't have a ton of people going in at once. They tried to keep it just one handler and one fursuiter at a time, just to keep the rooms from getting too clogged up. Because sometimes there were a ton of fursuiters coming in, and they really needed all the space they could have.
Everybody's hot.
Yep. Lots of fans in there.
Not just the actual fans. Mm-hmm. Yay! That was fun of the day. All right. So, and I mean, like, that actually sounds like a lot of fun. The idea that you guys get to, you know, both experience the little bit of the behind the scenes as well as the con itself. Because, I mean, that seems like that, I don't know, when one talks about the full con experience, and I know that I've been barraged by that particular line far more often than I'd ever like to say, but, like, I want the full con experience. Like seriously, like, create your own full con experience. So, if you could give, you know, a little bit of background as to what you would consider to be a full con experience. So you've experienced not, like, being part of help staff. and being sort of part of help stuff? Like, which one of the two is more fulfilling, maybe?
I mean, I'd say that they're kind of... So as an attendee versus a volunteer is essentially what you're saying. I'd say that they're kind of fulfilling in different ways. You know, I mean, it's a lot of fun to be an attendee and to just, you know, get to wander around the con and just, you know, see all the cool things and go to the vendors and go to all the panels. And I mean, I definitely would always recommend, you know, doing things that you enjoy at the con for sure. But then I think being a volunteer is fulfilling too, in being able to actually feel like you're a part of the con and are being able to help out with things too. And that you're not just, you know, not just showing up and leaving, but that you're actually able to help out. And
yeah, you're putting your mark on it in a little way.
I mean, even if you don't feel like you have the biggest contribution, it's something that you you can be proud of in a way, I guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was just, and I mean, like, that's something that everybody should, I guess, at least once in their con life and con experience sort of experience. And full con, even Badge is background shouting about the full con experience. I don't know, like, the that's just a meme going around between, like, us and, well, myself, Badge, and somebody else who is constantly asking for con experience, even though they can't actually have said full con experience until they're 18. So, speaking of that, now, obviously, I think, if I'm not mistaken, MFF does have minors at the convention.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, it does.
So, what's that like? I know that, obviously, from our side, I can't sort of give any experience from our side, particularly because we don't, at this current juncture, have under 18s at a convention. What kind of things do people sort of look out for? I know that there must be, like, some sort of code of conduct in respect to how you should behave around minors. What's that all about?
There is a code of conduct, and like, if you do inappropriate things in public, I think the security will come down on you pretty quickly. But from what I saw, there really weren't a lot of problems with that at the convention. Everyone seemed really well behaved, and it really was just an atmosphere where, you know, lots of activity and lots of energy, but the kind of place where it would be safe to bring a minor. And then what they did is, your badges, they had different badges for people who registered as adults and people who registered as minors. And then for 18 plus panels, they checked badges for, did you pay to go to the con, but also, are you old enough to attend this particular panel? And then for minors who are young enough, they're not allowed to come by themselves. They have to have a parent or guardian with them as well.
What was the youngest age at the convention?
I'm really not sure. I mean, I wouldn't be too surprised if there were a couple people that brought, like, infants with them.
I think I remember seeing that at least one of these 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask sentience, like, youngest sentience.
I'm really not sure. I mean, part of it is just that I don't really remember seeing too many minors, but then there are just so many people at the convention that I'm sure there are hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, who are there that I never saw. Just because the massive crowds.
I do remember, as I was guarding the as I was checking badges for the dealer's room, at one point a preteen girl dressed up in a costume, and her very perfectly normal looking middle-aged mom went into the dealers together. And I thought it was really cool that, you know, this mom who, I mean, maybe she is a furry herself, who knows, but isn't getting into it as much as her daughter, is still there with her daughter going to the con and enjoying it with her and making sure that she has a good time. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. Like, we've had, what, Moms of Furries on, like, once or twice, and they very much advocated the idea of sort of getting involved with your kid if they show interest in the furry fandom, because the furry fandom is one of the very sort of, is a relatively safe place to explore this kind of stuff, and everyone's super inviting and everything. So...
Yep.
So yeah, that's definitely something to consider if you, well, A, you are a furry parent, and B, you are the parent of a furry. Or vice versa, yeah.
What, like, oof, wow, that was a weird what, sorry.
what?
what?
Say what? Okay, sorry, we're done. I'm done, I promise.
Oh, God. So when, and I know the sort of parents currently, but like the kind of atmosphere that you would expect at a convention, was that exactly the kind of experience that you had from MFF? Was that exactly what you think? I mean, maybe you've gone to smaller meetups at some points, like maybe semi-organized. Were they any way similar? Do they follow a particular pattern for you? Is there something that sort of stands out from what you would consider to be a good convention? I know that you might not have been to many, but like, or at least differing ones. Was there ever a particular year where the convention went better out of the, I think, 3 years that you guys were there?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years. Okay. But one of you was there for three?
Nope.
No.
Buzz. Okay. Well, 2 years that you were there. Which one seemed to be run better and why?
They were both run excellently.
Yeah, I think they were both run fantastically. I certainly don't think either of us personally had any issues with how the con was run, and mm-hmm. I don't think I know of anyone else that had issues either. I think they both times did a very excellent job of making sure that everyone was safe, making sure that everything was set up correctly, and that all the facilities were in order, and just making sure that everyone had a great time.
Yeah. But yeah, being on, I don't want to say con stuff, being a con volunteer, I suppose there is a part of the con that you are privy to that most other people aren't. Is there anything along those lines that you can and or are willing to share? Like, what happens in the background, like behind the curtain?
Who freaks out and when?
Yeah.
Again, it was really well run. There aren't like any skeletons in the closet to bring out. I think
I'd say, if anything, it was just that at certain points they did seem to be running low on volunteers. And so, sometimes I think it was hard for them to be able to switch people out just because they didn't have people on standby to take over.
Yep.
For when someone needed to leave. And oh, so... Damn. So yeah, I think that was about the biggest issue that I can think of, is just they needed more people to help at certain points.
If you're listening to this podcast and planning to go to MFF, help volunteer so that doesn't happen again next year.
Fair enough. And I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons why we this chat is that, like, for anybody listening, for anybody who is, you know, considering going to a convention, and that convention does in fact have spaces for volunteers, it's always a very, very good idea. I mean, like, you look at Euroference, you look at any of the other conventions in the world, especially the big ones, are going to need people to help. And if like this, if your feedback is anything to go by, it also helps network in some senses. Because I mean, I've heard from both of you, mostly from Trace. I should really talk to you more, Kit. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I need to get on Telegram more often too.
Yeah, but so like, and I've lost my train of thought.
Again.
Okay. Yes, it's intermittent. It's it's left the station. It forgot to pick somebody up. It'll come back in a second.
That's how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah. So I was going somewhere. Where I was going is, like, yes, networking was the word that I was looking at. So, I mean, you guys met a whole bunch of people at the convention itself. I remember hearing, like, you'd spoken to this person, you'd spoken to that person, or you'd, you know, shared these kinds of things with people. How exactly was that particularly because of the networking itself that you were able to get a little more intimate? Would probably not be the word I'd like to use, but it's popped to mind. Maybe not that
word.
Hey there.
Well, if you're talking about some of the people that we met at the convention, with regards to some of the guests and the creators that were there, then I would say that was generally less related to volunteering and more just being at the con in general. It's kind of amazing how many of these names in the fandom that you would recognize very quickly are actually very approachable at the convention.
Oh yeah.
Like there's a lot of really big authors and artists and, you know, all sorts of creators that are just hanging around the dealer's den, and you can just walk up to their tables and start talking to them and tell them about how much you enjoy their stuff. And I mean, then some of them also have panels that you can go to, and I mean, you can always catch them at those and talk to them afterwards.
Yeah, that's something I've sort of, that's been a bit of a running theme with regards to cons and the attendees of the cons. Like, even the really sort of big names in the furry fandom, we don't have too many, like, sort of bad, like, or like assholes when it comes to like the big names. Everyone's really approachable. Everyone's like,
oh yeah,
sincere. Ooh, yeah. And everything. There are a few big mouths, but I mean, it's for the most part, it seems that most of them are super approachable and super like, hey, how are you doing, kind of thing.
Oh yeah, very
oh,
much
definitely,
so
definitely.
Certainly everyone that we've met has for sure been that way.
That's really good to hear.
Obviously, a lot of interesting people we're speaking to, and a couple of interesting events that may have happened while speaking to them. For instance, oh, I guess we can't necessarily talk about that. A particular person, one human being, two fursuits.
Oh, yes.
Yes. But, and I mean, I'm assuming that that happens. There are, like, people who represent two particular different furry personalities. How does that feel? Or like, how does one, for instance?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last part.
Yeah, what you were breaking up a little bit, Ivic. try again, please.
Like with say particular things like that, you have one soul but two different fursuits, for instance. Like how does it feel to know that say one person would be two different fursuits, for instance? And I know that like this happens a fair amount of times.
Mm-hmm.
Mistaken, because I know what's it, Tayer? Is that her name?
Are you telling me that sometimes people have more than one persona?
Oh god, why? How could they? The betrayers of their species.
It seems like cats and dogs can get along.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the same body.
I think it's really cool that people will have multiple fursuits. And I know that sometimes I think people that do have multiple fursuits will actually lend out their suits to friends as well. And so the person that's associated with the suit might not necessarily be the one who's always wearing it at the convention.
I'm not sure if it borrowed somebody's suit, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Oh, no, I haven't. I've never worn a suit. Would love to someday, but have not gotten to do so yet.
I don't know if it's something that I'm as interested in myself. I don't think wearing a suit is a bad idea. I don't take good care of my stuff, and I know that a fursuit is an expensive piece of equipment that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, fair enough. You need to comb it daily.
Take it for a walk. Make sure it's watered.
Take it for a walk.
It's not that bad, but...
It requires a general level of maintenance.
Yeah. Yeah. A general level of maintenance, so there's a bit more equipment than I'm willing to make.
Fursuits aren't just for Christmas, they're for life.
Yes.
Yes, they are. That's why I haven't stopped by Walmart yet.
Like, don't get a Walmart one. Yeah.
No, I would never get a Walmart one.
Apparently, that's becoming a thing too now, that people's suits are being sold as actual, what's the word?
Like rip-off suits from like AliExpress or something.
Knock-off suits. Yeah. Can you bloody believe that? Funny. It is kind of funny. I mean, like, just imagine, like, you...
Wow. Like, imagine an act, like, someone famous's, like, fursuit that you can, like, instantly recognize, like, telephone or something like that. And imagine, then, a Chinese knockoff version of that. There is a market for that.
It is, and it's happened. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there was a controversy this year, this, like, 2018 year, where a particular, and because they were relatively well known online in the online community, because they were a YouTuber, they had, and they were also, mistaken, they were not first aider, but they were a medic, and they had passed away.
Wasn't it Lemon Husky or something?
I think it's Lemon Husky. But the thing is that they passed away. Somebody had made a knockoff their suit and paraded around in it. It was a massive thing on Twitter, social media. It had, like, put the person on blast, like, goodness knows. And it's particularly, I think it's got a lot to do with the idea that though it's not, like, strictly copyrighted, it still is, like, you're taking somebody's personality and you're watering it down and then...
I think there is some amount of... there is some weird copyright law stuff with regards to making an original character. You know, where to some extent you do own the rights to that character. And so, maybe you don't necessarily have it in writing, but I think you have kind of like, do you know what the term is for it?
I don't know what the term is.
Intellectual property?
When you make a piece of art, you technically have the copyright to it. The hard part is proving it if someone ever rips you off.
I think it's it should be intellectual.
Yeah, intellectual property. Yeah.
An IPP or something like that? An IP?
Yeah, the IP of it.
Just IP.
Yeah, just intellectual property laws.
Mm. Yep.
And in that sort of same sense, there are many brown wolves, gray wolves, white wolves.
Yeah.
All made by, say, you know, fursuit makers who sort of, I don't know, get asked to do something similar to somebody else's, particularly if it's a generic color, for instance, which is one of the reasons why we probably find so many rainbow furries out there.
Sparkle dogs.
Or, you know, it's dark green or blue. We're not original in that sort of same sense. I mean, there's blue people with green hair. Yes, and maybe for that, like when it comes to going to, say, a convention, you see a lot of fursuits. Did you ever see very, very similar fursuits to one another? Maybe even made by the same creator?
Definitely ones made by the same creator.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say there is a fair bit of similarity between some fursuits and yeah, sometimes it is just people have similar designs, and so fursuits kind of look similarly. But then there are also some really cool instances where people actually have complementary fursuits, mm-hmm. Where they're made by the same creator and say that they'll have alternating colors. You know, like instead of being black and white, they'll be white and black, you know, something like that. And oh, it's really cool seeing those sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, I guess Galahad has it on the... because, again, like speaking from that sort of thing, I think, if I'm not mistaken, my fursona is like two or three shades darker green than Jip Cody's, but yep. In that same sense, I was about to say Majira, because Majira is also like straight up in my head here, because there are many fursuits a lot like Majira's, and Majira's complained about it on several occasions that, you know, he continually gets confused with other fursuiters, mm-hmm. and weirdly enough, he's also, you know, 3 to 4 feet taller than everybody else. I hear Majira is like super tall, like almost 7 feet.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
6'9", maybe close enough. Well, I guess. Stopping. Okay. But with those kinds of things in mind, I mean, like being at a convention, it always seems a lot more complicated. I mean, what kind of stuff does one have to do to be able to go to there? What do you need to consider? Either as staff or as a general congoer, what do you need to look out
for? I'd say as a congoer, the two biggest things are honestly time and money. And not even at the convention. Once you're at the convention, you look at the schedule, you decide what to do, and you go do it. But you have to plan ahead, take vacation time off from work, and make sure that you budgeted enough money for it months in advance so that you can go there and enjoy the con without worrying about that.
Yep. I know for us, the most expensive part of the convention was the hotel.
Definitely. Yeah, especially that's for most people.
Yeah. Since the convention's 4 days, we got there. Well, we got to the venue on Wednesday and stayed through Sunday night. And so we were there for, what, 5 nights?
Yep.
And so, yeah, that adds up quite a bit, especially when the hotels aren't necessarily super cheap.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'd say it was definitely worth it. Not having to worry about, you know, arriving the day of the convention or anything.
Yeah.
Or having to leave the last night of the convention or anything like that.
Definitely.
Yeah. You buy yourself a lot of peace of mind, really.
And that's, yep. Yeah, if I can sort of turn the conversation back to our convention as well, that's kind of something that we're going for as well. Like, we wanted the whole thing to be run from one central location, where everyone is close enough to the function halls and everything, and the venue itself, so that everyone, like, included in the price is that peace of mind that there is a place for you to sleep. Where everyone else will also sort of be up late at night if you want to hang out and have a beer with people, that you don't have to drive home, that kind of thing. Like,
yep.
We want that peace of mind to be built into the price of the whole convention.
Yeah, whereas I think with MFF...
Say again, Ivic, you broke up.
Yeah.
The thing with MFF would be that it's not that they have... Like, they have a whole bunch of hotels that are part of the entire con experience.
That's right.
But they're all separately priced. They're not necessarily... They're connected, yeah. But they're not the place that you would go to, you know... You can choose between 10 miles, 20 miles, and 30 miles if you had to.
Well, they're all the hotels that partner with the convention are within walking distance.
Yeah. But
it might be a long walk, but you can walk for sure.
Okay. Like how long is a good walk?
I'd say probably the furthest hotel from the convention is just a little under a mile away.
That's not too bad.
2 kilometers? Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not too bad.
1.6.
Oh, fuzz. 1.6 kilometers?
Yeah, that's not too
probably
bad.
A little under 2 kilometers.
Because, weirdly enough, I mean, like the venue that we conventions, it does have like a separate place for overflow, for instance, and it's literally around about like it's maybe a kilometer from where the actual everything's happening. It's just that it's. I'm not going to talk about it, but in any case, like, so walking is something that people are willing to do at a convention. Obviously, if you don't want to walk, get the closer venue, yeah?
Well, it's some of it's if you can get the closer venue. the hotel where the con, you know, actually takes place, is the...
Was it the... Gosh.
Trying to remember.
I don't remember. Was it the Hyatt...
Yeah, I think it was the Hyatt Regency Hotel was, you know, it was like instantly booked. they opened up the booking for it.
Yeah, it was booked within minutes.
Yep.
I'm not surprised in the slightest.
Yep. And so, it's hard to get a spot there. But yeah, some of the other hotels are like, you know, like there's one that's pretty much right next door. And then there are a couple that are maybe 5 minutes walk away. And okay. So you can still get pretty close.
Yep.
But then, you could also, go for like a separate hotel. Or, I mean, if you live in Chicago, then maybe you just drive to it every day.
Yeah. Cool. Just letting you guys know, that if we ever move, we're moving to Chicago.
There you go.
Maybe not necessarily outskirts Chicago. We'll go there and we'll sleep in the car.
Well, Rosemont is where the convention takes place, so it's technically outside of Chicago, but it's in the Chicago area.
So you're still
smaller
gonna be...
town, suburban. Yeah, and I don't know, like when. So weirdly enough, and I mean, this probably connects in a little way to, like, just the communities as a whole. and Trace, I think maybe this connects to the question that I asked you the last time you were on, in respect to like differences between the two communities that sort of belong to and interact with. Like, when it comes to international furs at places like MFF. How exactly, or like, are they easier to talk to, or difficult like that? What exactly do you experience from there? Like, have you ever seen an international fur at your convention?
I'd say at MFF in particular, the convention is just so huge that for me personally, it's harder to get to know individuals, and you know, like it's harder for any. Individuals to necessarily stand out because there's so much going on.
I do not.
So I mean, I think there were a lot of international furs, but I don't know that we really got the chance to meet many or any of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately. You still met a fair few.
Can you hear me?
We undoubtedly, saw. Bunch of international furs, or the same panels as international furs. But again, there are just so many people that kind of paradoxically, I don't know that we really met anybody.
It's not like Bavarian furs, like wander around with the lederhosen and an accordion, so you can like immediately like pinpoint them in a crowd.
That's also true.
Ones all in kilts.
Yeah. Like playing the bag, like a Scottish furry, like a Scottish terrier playing the bagpipes. Just like walking down the hallway, you can hear him from like 6 miles away.
Yep.
Speaking of...
That definitely happened to us repeatedly.
I was about to say, like, how exactly is it to try to sleep at a place like that, especially with people constantly awake, doing videos, doing that kind of stuff? That's another thing I do want to talk about. Like, media creating furries.
Well, I think my guess is, I mean, I don't think we ever really had an issue with it, but, you know, we were in a separate hotel from the convention itself. And so I think they do a pretty good job of distinguishing, you know, like the more convention center area from the area where the rooms are. Like, I think those, the rooms all tend to be like higher floors and... Yeah, so you won't necessarily have, I don't think you'd really have crowds in a lot of those places. And so I think most of what you would get would probably be, you know, kind of ordinary hotel noise. Yeah, our hotel, I mean, about the most we saw other furs was... You know, in the elevators and in the lobby of our hotel.
Oh, like, we didn't really.
Yeah.
No, it was honestly, going to our own room was very quiet, very peaceful. Yeah. We never had any troubles at all.
Do you think that's because most people would rather in
hotel? Say again?
Do you think that's where people, it's one of the, do you think that people do their media mostly in the main hotel rather than, like, say, from the outside ones?
Possibly. I mean, I think that they also do just have a good system of, you know, having designated areas where, you know, if safers are doing podcasts or whatever, I don't know that there would be much reason for them to necessarily be up in the hotel areas recording stuff, because there really wouldn't be all that much going on. So I think they'd mostly be going to be in more like the lobby convention center areas where there are actually things happening.
Oh, makes sense.
You're randomly going to run into a
puppy fur or someone that you know from the internet in the hallway. You're definitely going to find them in the lobby.
You might still find them in the hallway. I mean,
it's less likely for sure.
Yeah, it's less likely, but I mean, it's a definite possibility just because, you know, there are furs everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you very well might see someone that you recognize. But yeah, more likely you'll spot a lot of people in the venue where things are actually happening.
All right. There is a storm.
Yeah, I've just mentioned you cut out. Storm's rolling in on his side, so he might be dropping out every now and then. Maybe if that's the case, let's sort of see if we can sort of start wrapping this up, Ivic, so you don't sort of have to drop in and out the whole time.
Yeah, I guess I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, well, it's a fun conversation.
It is, yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's difficult to have you like drop in and out the whole time, but we can keep going until, I don't know, you get hit by lightning or something.
Knowing my weekend, I think that's definitely a possibility at this
point. Oh no.
Yeah, I heard it's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, no worries. We'll get through this. But yeah, I mean, can you guys still hear me? Fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. So while you guys still have me, that sounds so conceited. I'm sorry. Like, so, I mean, I know that we kind of spoke about, like, just some of the breathe and talk. That's exactly what I'm supposed to be trying
yes.
to do. So, we kind of covered some of the things that you have to look out for, some of the things you have to do when you're going to a convention, that being the idea of booking your hotel, taking those into account, things like that. But, like, if you could ever consider a to-do list, what do you think a to-do list for a big convention would be?
For me, myself, the two biggest things are go to the dealer's den and go to a bunch of cool panels.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, I think the big thing is... I'd recommend, you know, if you're going to a big con, definitely try looking at the schedule in advance and start getting an idea of things like which panels you want to attend and, you know, if there are any furs that you want to look out for, start getting an idea of where they might be if you want to try to run into them. You know, looking at who's in the dealer's den. And, you know, getting an idea of, like, who you might want to see in there. And so, yeah, I'd say generally, if you can plan things out in advance, I think that helps. But then also definitely planning day to day as well, you know, because then you can kind of see how you're feeling about things and, you know, look at, yeah, do we want to go to this panel, or do we want to spend some time here in the dealer's den, or do we want to try visiting the art show, or, you know, anything like that.
And like Ivic pointed out, 6-2-1.
Yep, and yeah, you definitely have to keep that in mind. Make sure that you're sleeping and eating and showering and all of those good things. Mm. Taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I think yep. at the last convention, I definitely didn't 6-2-1 at all, particularly very well.
Which number was sacrificed more, the 6-2 or the 1?
The 6, definitely the 6.
That's the easiest one to let go of, for yeah. sure.
Then again, I mean, like, I slept, I think, 3 hours, possibly a night.
Ooh.
It's okay, like, over a short time. Okay.
Yeah, even so, I think that as a whole, you'll enjoy your con experience a lot more if you're well rested and you're not starving, and certainly everyone else will appreciate you having showered at least once a day.
Yep.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know what the 6-2-1 rule is, 6 hours of sleep, 2 meals a day, 1 shower a day.
Most people would say 6 meals a day, 2 hours of sleep, and 1 shower the weekend.
1 shower overall.
Yeah. Screw it, I don't have time to shower. Musky down the hallway.
Yeah, like...
Oh, look.
I will be carrying a spray bottle with hand sanitizer in it. Just, yeah. Do your bit. Stay... fresh, I suppose. Otherwise, yes. You will be hosed down.
I'd want to... You talked about things to do when you go to the cons. Mm-hmm. With MFF in particular, there's a fur who goes by the name Alkali.
Yep.
And he runs Whose Lion Is It Anyway? 2 separate panels, one with the audience participating and one run by staff. Of improv games.
Oh, nice.
Those are must-sees for me.
Actually, pretty much any panel that has Alkali in it is going to be a good time.
He is both hilarious and big-hearted.
Mm. Yeah.
We've actually been trying to get Alkali onto the podcast, but it's... I think timelines just do not... really
I really hope you can get him on, because yeah. He would be a ton of fun to have on the show, I know for sure.
Definitely.
But then, I mean, there are all sorts of, you know, big panels and things going on at MFF to look for. Like, one of the other big things was the Foxes and Peppers shows.
Of course.
And there were a couple of those this year. There was the one where they did kind of a Christmas special. You know, that was all ages. And then there was an 18-plus charity event that they did as well, charity show. And,
interesting.
And yeah, they were both really cool.
And with the...
You cut out a bit.
Sorry, you cut out.
Yeah.
The storm is... Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Hi. Okay. So, with the... Yes? No?
Yes, we can hear you. Just stop doing Natalie Wynn.
Who?
Never mind.
Keep going.
Jesus. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I can hear the thunder in the background.
Oof.
She's a biggin. But yeah, if the house blows away, I'll start screaming.
Oh no!
It's okay. It's a stone house. It's a brick house, so I don't think that anything will break. Also, it's newish.
If it blows away, you'll definitely be screaming.
Yeah.
Probably be a good end to the weekend. Anyway, so, but with all of those things in mind, like obviously there are particular big names that he needs to go and watch, but what happens, like, who would you suggest of the, like, and this is for anybody who knows that they're going to be coming to a particular convention, who would you actually suggest as, you know, I guess lesser known, and I'm putting those into parentheses, nobody can see. But lesser known names that you should definitely go out and have a look at.
Well, I mean, one name that I know you're definitely familiar with is Tempo. Mm-hmm. Tempo-kun is, you know, someone that I think doesn't get necessarily a ton of attention in the fandom, but he is really cool. And I know you guys know that because he's on all the time.
Yeah.
That
man is just like energy incarnate, though.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, and he's super approachable in person too. I mean, he was just hanging out in the dealer's den, and you know, we got to go up to him and just chatted with him for a while, and you know, came back later and he recognized us again, and yeah, so yeah, it was a great time talking to him. As far as other less recognized furs,
she doesn't have a panel, but I am a huge fan of Chu, who does the Slightly Damned
webcomic.
And
Slightly Damned is fantastic. I highly recommend checking it out if you have not.
She usually has a panel stand in the dealer's den.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and. Yeah, she's, if you're on the Furry FM site, she's actually the one who did our badges that are the art for today.
Okay.
Huh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep, she did those for us last year.
Now I recognize the art style.
Yeah, she is also, you know, super approachable and really friendly, and yeah, she's really cool, and she does some wonderful stuff.
Anything else? Any other notable happen at MFF that you guys want to talk about?
Anything to, all sorts of
everything
stuff.
Everything was notable.
Yeah. One thing about volunteering I wanted to bring up. We didn't realize this when we got started, but if you volunteer, I don't know if they're going to necessarily do it exactly the same way next year, but we volunteered on Thursday before the con got started, and then we volunteered really late at night a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And when we volunteered at those times, because there weren't a lot of other people volunteering, they let us go and double count those hours.
Oh, nice.
Towards the 10 hours for free registration for next year. So if you do go volunteer, it's worth considering volunteering some of your hours, either on Thursday or at a time where there aren't a lot of other people volunteering, and seeing if you can't really rack up some hours towards some of the incentives they give volunteers.
That's really
so
cool.
So that's t-shirts and...
I mean, things like... Well, you get, like, a little ribbon identifying you as...
That's so useful.
They, to differentiate the staff from the other volunteers, they call the, the drop-in volunteers gophers.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. you get a little ribbon that identifies you as a gopher, and, yep, you get a t-shirt, and, I mean, I think, I don't know, they had, like, a list of things that you get for volunteering. Also got use of the staff lounge as well, which I don't think we really went into, but I know that, you know, you can just walk in and get free food and stuff for being a volunteer.
What? Nice. You guys didn't do free food?
We did go to the...
Come on!
We did go to the con suite offered to everyone at the convention.
Yeah, and... there is yeah. also a suite where you can get food as well. So we did do that. We didn't really venture into the staff lounge.
How dare you? How dare you not take advantage?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Come on.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I didn't do the thing that everybody else...
Yeah, just eat the food, Tina.
Oh, boy. All right, so... sure. But I mean, like... No...
Yes... Try again. Yeah, we lost him.
Yeah. Oh, hi. Hey. Hey.
Hi.
Are you still there? Are you speaking? Are you?
Yes.
Have you been blown away yet?
No, not yet. But that was not me. that was Badge in the background. So if you could, which cons would you guys like to, aside from Emmett?
Definitely South Africa.
Definitely South Africa.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's
loaded
the one
question.
That yep. wasn't loaded for me. I didn't.
uh-huh.
No, it really like, you know, it's something we've been planning on going for years.
I've actually been wanting to go to SAFC for years to... in part to meet you guys, and so yeah, being able to probably actually make it this year is a big deal.
definitely
yep.
And then we're also kind of eyeballing Denver.
Yeah, we're thinking about maybe going to Denver this summer. And again, I mean, probably sticking to cons that are a bit closer to us, with the exception of SAFC.
Yeah.
Smart move.
What about FE, for instance? Fernal Equinox, or any of the Canadian conventions? They're closer to Denver?
I mean... anything in Canada is going to be very far north of where we are.
Yeah.
All right. I always failed sort of orient your state.
Okay, so we're in Nebraska. We're kind of right in the middle of the U.S. We're one state over from the, you know, exact middle of the U.S. in Kansas.
All right.
You know what's weird? Every single time I hear the word, I think north.
If you're in Nebraska.
For some goodness reason. Yeah.
Nebraska? No.
I think snow when I hear Nebraska.
We do get snow in the winter, but yeah, we're not that far north.
I think like, geographically, the way the United States is set up is that there are two mountain ranges that run north to south on either side of the country. Mm-hmm. And that creates kind of a funnel where during the winter, cold air blows down from Canada across the Midwest. And most of us get a lot of snow during the winter as a result, even if we're not very far north.
Yeah. A lot of those...
I see now. You guys are two states above Oklahoma, or not Oklahoma, Is it Oklahoma?
Two states south of Oklahoma? That might be.
I'd
probably have to look at the
map. Below South Dakota. Yeah. And then, as a surprise, we're also below North Dakota.
And then below you, Tennessee, and above, and Tennessee is above the state with Oklahoma in it.
Okay, yeah, we're two states north of Oklahoma, and three states south of Canada.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, we have the two Dakotas north of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, North Dakota shares the border with Canada, right?
What's that?
North Dakota shares the border with Canada, yes. Right?
Yeah, North yes, Dakota does. Shares yes, the border with Canada.
Okay, good.
Pretty much half of the people from Canada. most of the personality from Canada as well, from what I've read.
Yeah, and then MFF is two states over in Illinois.
Huh. There is a Nebraska. The chat currently named Trill.
Yes,
Trill.
Yep. I mentioned this podcast in to some of our Nebraska furry friends. Oh, nice. Hi, Trill.
Hey, Trill.
How many furs are in Nebraska, actually?
There's a good number, surprisingly. We are in a chat that has about 200 members, a bit over.
That's like almost our entire population of furries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why haven't you guys had a con yet in Nebraska? Or is it just because Nebraska?
I think it's a big part of it's just organization. And I think this has been like something that's come up in the past as well and just hasn't necessarily worked out up to this point. But I mean, I certainly think it's something that could happen in the future. I'm sure there are enough furs in the general area for it to be able to happen. I think it would just take someone to put in a lot of time and effort to set it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone to just own it essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean, I guess that's something.
While we don't have cons, we do have a bunch of meetups. So we'll go like Trace and I couldn't make it last night, but last night a lot of the Nebraska furs met up to go out to eat and then go ice skating together.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Midna, who says hi.
Cool.
Hi, Midna. She's listening right now.
Nice. Hi, Midna. Okay. Ivic, you wanted to say something before you cut out?
No, I was just randomly making noises, sorry.
Okay. So nothing useful.
Yeah, no. So, pretty much the usual. There's a lot of chat here. Welcome to all.
Welcome to everybody.
Everybody. But yeah, I think this is probably a good place to end off the chat. And really, really appreciate the two of you joining us. We actually do want to have you two on again.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, this is definitely fun.
Those are desperate plans in the future. everything's in a pipeline currently in my head, and that pipeline tends to... Hey? Am I breaking up?
No, we hear you.
Oh. Yeah, so definitely going to hear from you two again soon.
We'll keep you guys informed as soon as we have our bearings, essentially. Every day is just a new like fight for for essentially the admin of this channel for us.
Yeah, and stability in some senses.
Yeah.
So it's really good to have the two of you on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
That was a pleasure, in all honesty. It was really fun having you guys on and hearing sort of the backstage, and thank you for sort of incentivizing people and telling them go out and see if you can do some volunteer work at the con.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a genuinely good time. I enjoyed it. It really is,
yeah. I'd say it's definitely worthwhile.
Awesome. All right. So I think from here on we are going to sign off, and Ivic is hopefully going to try and play some music, given that the weather doesn't destroy your system.
I think the worst of the storm pressed on for a little bit. It's still some heavy rain. Definitely still bearable. We're technically running two voice chats at the same time, if you haven't heard, like, scratch in the
badge in the background.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, like, if we handle two chats at the same time, I'm pretty sure we should be able to handle a nice little bit of music. Well, what I can ask is requests.
Music requests.
Okay. You broke off yet?
Music requests.
From you guys.
From the two of you.
Okay.
What do you want us to play?
Oh boy.
You can always just tell us in chat.
No.
Yeah. Don't have to press you live on the air.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and, for me, go ahead and play Fireflies by Owl City.
Ooh.
Can do.
Haven't heard that one in a while. That's a nice song. Very jaunty.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are also listening on the app, if you can just pay a little bit of attention to a particular thing, if you scroll down from the main page, you'll see request a song. You can also request songs there. You'll be able to see my playlist as soon as I go live. And then just below that, there's a little donate button for buying people coffee. Again, it's all voluntary. If you want it to story.fm, please do.
I make you shill.
It's becoming priority these days. Or not priority.
Policy.
I don't know. Words. Policy. Yes, definitely policy. It's like I'm being forced to tell people to pay it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like any sort of helps keep maintenance of the site, everything like that. Every little bit goes a long way.
It helps keep my mic arm oiled.
Yeah, but keeps cats fed.
Yes,
we're talking about him.
Keeps the hamsters in the server room running cool.
Yep, gives them a nice fan. And Trill actually missed everything. We're sorry. We're going to be uploading this video to
YouTube.
Our YouTube site.
Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, but shortly after this.
So just keep an eye on the South Africa site. If you just go onto, the easiest way to probably find us is just type in South Africa. Mm-hmm. You'll see a whole bunch of things with content of South Africa, but our channel shouldn't be too far off.
Yeah.
If you type that out.
Alternatively, follow us on the Twitter. We always post when a video goes live on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And randomly, whenever the mood strikes us, we tend to sometimes just randomly put people on blast. I say blast, not blast, but we
don't start beef on Twitter. I mean, we don't do Twitter.
No,
beef.
We don't. We don't do Twitter beef. We only do chicken. Double entendre.
I'm vegan these days. Well, social media vegan.
Okay, so no beef,
just wholesome goodness. Actually, it's more a case of like I'm social media vegetable. Like I don't post.
Yeah,
sounds like me.
If you guys have anything interesting, just tag us in whatever you sort of want to talk about, just tag us on there. We'll definitely look into it and get round to it. If you feel that there's a particular guest that you want to listen to, of course you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so any media is pretty much good media. Just let us know where at South
Yeah, and where we can find whom stuff so ever you wish to point in our direction.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thanks again, Trace and Kit, for joining us. We really do appreciate you taking out the time for us. And
yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was great. We shall see you guys again shortly, and we shall see you listeners also in about 10 or so minutes while Ivic sets up. And next week we have a pre-recorded session, correct, Ivic?
Yes, that will be the pre-recorded session that we
did like a month ago.
2 weeks.
Okay.
It was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I swear.
It was Tempo and Slate.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah. See you guys. Have a good evening.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you all for listening.
Yeah.
Have a good day, everyone.
Thanks for listening and thanks for having us, Ivic.
All right.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.